It's All Things Considered on 90.9 WBUR. I'm Steve Brown. Tens of thousands of people are already on the Esplanade, and up to a half million could turn out for Boston's 39th annual Pops Concert and Fireworks Display. Betty Crispin of Westboro is among those I found earlier today, ready to take in the show right in front by the Hat Shell.
You get here very early. Actually, we have a friend who got here by 3:30 this morning to get online. And the gates open at 9 o'clock, and then you just run as fast as you can to the front and put down your tarp.
Keith Lockhart conducts his 18th 4th of July concert with the Pops tonight.
I think what makes this concert so special for me is as a performer, hardly anybody else in my small subset of the musical business, the classical music world, ever gets to perform for 600,000-700,000 people in a live audience. That's more people than any other orchestra plays to all year combined, all of their concerts together. And this is not the only concert. This is one of hundreds or so concerts the Boston Pops does over a course of a year. But this concert is so central to so many people's understanding of the 4th of July that it's really a position of honor. And we're 18 years into it. I'm still excited and a little awed about our placement on this concert.
Talk about tonight's show. What will people be seeing?
Well, each year it's the continual balancing act is trying to balance tradition and expectation with not presenting the same concert we presented last year. And that's through choice of guest artists. Jennifer Hudson, who sounds and looks just amazing, is joining us tonight. The Dropkick Murphys for a little bit of raucous local party flavor. The cast of Mamma Mia is coming in. Then, of course, in the latter part of the show, we're debuting a brand new patriotic sing-along, recognizing that more people today know Neil Diamond's Coming to America than know Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Now, it is obviously a balancing act. You got to keep it fresh, but if you didn't do the 1812 Overture, there'd be a riot.
There would, actually, and it's kind of funny that since this year, of course, is the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812, so people think there's a particular connection this year with the piece, but of course, those who have ever heard us talk about this before know that this piece was not written for anything that had to do with the American War of 1812, but still, it's got a great title.
Talk about some of the folks in the orchestra themselves. We know the headliners, but you got some hardworking musicians up there who have been doing this for a while, and I'm sure there's some that it's fairly new to them.
We have a great band, and there are some it's fairly new to, and they're always a little awed. There are many people in that orchestra, though, who were with me on my first 4th of July in 1995 and had been there for several years before that. This is a group with which the Boston Pops Esplanade Orchestra, named after this particular place where we're playing, I have toured the world with them. I've toured Japan 4 times. We all know each other very, very well. They bring their A game to this event. They realize how important it is to the Boston Pops. The Boston Symphony is an entity that the eyes of the world are focused on us, and everybody tries really hard to give everybody a great show.
Talk a little bit about the audience that's here on the Oval. Some of them got out real early this morning. I talked to one guy, left his house at 4 o'clock this morning. He's sitting in the front row. He won't get home until about 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. How important is that audience, and what energy do they bring to this event?
Well, they really are the true fans, the hardcore, if you will, fans of this event. And some of them, there are people who have come for 20-some-odd straight years to this event and always make sure they're parked down in the middle of the Oval. You know, there's nothing that is more flattering than to know there are some people who take this that seriously and that it's that important. And in a way, since even though there are 500,000 people or so listening to this concert in the live audience, these are the ones I see. I see the first, 20,000 or so of them. And so they're really the ones that we're doing the concert directly for.
You had a dress rehearsal last night. Do you make many changes between the dress rehearsal and tonight? Were there things that you say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that?
Well, after the dress rehearsal, the confetti is cleared and all that, we all meet and we have a large-scale production meeting in which we talk not only about what happened on the 3rd, but what's going to be different on the 4th because of the actual, TV during that time, things are actually different. We have to wait different places for commercials and that sort of thing. Sometimes there are wholesale changes. We've changed orders around. We've eliminated pieces. Generally, though, what happens is it's small tweakings. We say, we didn't really like the way this entrance happened, or we don't like where this person's placed on the stage, or I'll snip, 4 bars of music out of something. All those things happen between, midnight on July 3rd and 8 o'clock on July 4th.
Okay, terrific. Thanks so much for talking with
me. Thank you. Happy 4th.
Keith Lockhart is the conductor of the Boston Pops. He's getting ready for his 18th 4th of July concert on the Esplanade.